What?
I'm not sure what just came out of me.
Roman building up steam. Superman punch comes out of the jaw.
From Studio 511, it's the 274th edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
Did you wash that shirt after you bought it?
No.
That's probably why you're all like,
yeah, I'm trying to break it in still. I just bought this shirt.
Arnold, Chris.
There you go.
What up?
Yeah. Breaking in that new shirt.
Yep.
New old shirt.
Yeah.
But it's new.
I used to have this exact shirt, but this was on the back and the front. It just had like the little WWF logo.
Oh,
back in the day.
The shirt I had, I got from my first wrestling pay-per-view, No Way Out of Texas. No Way. Paper shirt on the back.
I always wanted that
I had
shirt.
It for about a month. I wore it to school for a couple of days. They're like, nope, can't wear that. Then I took it at home. My Jehovah's Witness mom said, nope, you can't wear that. It probably must have helped that I didn't tell anyone I bought the fucker.
Yeah.
I had a shirt in high school. It was a Slayer shirt. It was like right after 9/11 shirt. So in the back, it has like a United States flag, and in it said payback's a bitch, motherfucker.
Oh wow.
I was wearing it in school. The teacher got me real quick. And I got in school suspension, and they didn't even take my shirt off.
I didn't have any.
Did you have another shirt underneath?
Oh no, it was a delight for everybody.
You made poor stop what she was doing. She turned around and look at you.
She knows that it was a delight.
Delightful.
Wonderful. All right. That being said, if you're joining us live, thank you so much. You can log into your YouTube account, and you know, that way you can get on there and get in the live chat. If you do that, you could just say hi or ask us questions, talk shit, whatever. I'll try to see it, and you know, right here on the old phone, and I'll try to involve you as best as I can in the show. Now, if you are not watching us live, please, you can still interact with us on Facebook, facebook.com/HoustonWrestlingRadio, or on Twitter at @HWrestlingRadio, or you could just leave a comment the old-fashioned way right here underneath on the YouTube. So we'll see those.
Underneath?
Yeah, underneath. Because there's a screen.
Below me.
You scroll down.
You can below me.
Then you can see underneath the table, and you see all of us aren't wearing pants.
You said we didn't have to wear them.
You can clearly see my pants, so I'm out of this joke.
I told you this table's
kind of weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there you go, guys. Thank you so much. Tell your friends. All right.
Or your enemies.
We have Elimination Chamber to cover. We're definitely on the road to WrestleMania still.
To digest.
So, where do you want to start off with, Chris?
I'm not going to start with either one of you.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go fuck myself then.
Yeah, you're used to it. Just to encapsulate the HWR butt hurt from the fans.
Oh, my God.
Robert Medlin, buzzkill. Aaron Garcia, obsolete. Andrew Williams, predictable. Robert Medlin, put a picture from The Simpsons. Local man ruins everything and has Roman's face on it. Jeff Milheims, disappointing. Troy Bussell, sad. James Sky Eagle Smith, wasted. Terrence Davidson posted a picture of comic book guy and he is not impressed. Mark Deska, inevitable. You, the first word that popped into your head after the Elimination Chamber was over and Roman won it.
Yep.
Yeah, that go boom, man.
Yep, that's I don't want to gloat in the fact that I called it because I didn't.
You never bet against Cena.
I didn't want it to happen. But man, I don't know. Like Roman winning it was kind of like the obvious thing. It was a safe bet. I said a long time ago that I'm not really gonna buy into the Roman hate. If Roman does something, all right, fine, whatever. I'm not really too enamored with the Universal title anyway. I'm not really too enamored with Brock Lesnar anyway. So if that's going to be at Mania, so be it. Why not? I'm sure there's going to be a card or a match somewhere else in the card that I'm going to be happy and I'm going to be entertained. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to get a fuel myself into this vitriol and all this hate and, you know, everything. I'm like, whatever. It's not for me. I'm going to move on. That's kind of how I feel.
I went through the stages of death because of this fucking damn thing.
Of grief?
Of stages of grief.
Ah.
When it first happened, I had a couple in me. So I was like, this is fucking bullshit, man. I fucking text the group chat. Reigns wins is the new Cena wins, LOL. And yeah, this is fucking bullshit. I'm like, God damn it. I was like, fuck it. If it headlines WrestleMania, I'm fucking, I'm beating traffic. I'm getting out of there.
Yep.
And the next day, I was still kind of like, whatever, man. I'm a little less pissed off about it. It kind of makes sense. And then, like, throughout the day, I was like, I mean, as long as it's not headlining it, I'm okay with the match. And then now, like, a couple days later, I'm just like,
sober.
It's fine. You know what I mean? After that promo he cut on Monday, I was real fine. I'm good. I'm like, fuck it.
All right, I want to get to the promo on Monday, but first, I got to get your initial reaction, Chris. What did you think immediately following the Elimination Chamber? That's technically not a word.
But that's the reason why I wanted to start the episode like this.
Okay.
Title the episode The Roman Paradox.
Okay.
Because the mission right now is to try to analyze and figure out why now Roman is still getting the dirt. Because you said it yourself. All the people online, they had their opinion. There were pictures on Twitter and Instagram of people canceling their network, and under other, they said, I'm sick of Roman being shoved down my throat.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Monday, you're taking the promo. You're okay with the match. You know, you don't have any huge stake in it.
Yeah.
So where is it all coming from? What do you think?
The hate? Where's the hate coming from?
Now. Like, what is there left to, like...
Now? I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I see your point, man. And if you forget about all the stuff that happened with Roman being not Daniel Bryan, then he's a dude who's just kind of lost a whole lot over the last few months.
Mm-hmm.
And people are cheering the fuck out. Just strength stuff, and Vince loves the big muscly dudes. Yeah. But you're gonna cheer for Strowman, but you're not gonna cheer for Roman, because Roman is the same way. Roman hasn't been shoved down our throats because Roman hasn't won diddly squat this past year. He's lost to like everybody, every big main event match he's lost. So you can't say, it's because he always fucking wins. He hasn't been winning lately.
No.
So I think people just got used to hating Roman because they got used to hating Roman.
Yeah,
you know, and it's just kind of like, just spilled over from like 2 or 3 years ago when he was just not Daniel Bryan.
Do you think that's spilling over right now that Daniel Bryan's replaced with Braun Strowman, the guy that all of a sudden everybody likes, and instead of giving Braun Strowman the push that everybody universally is cheering for, you know, you have the guy that you want. You're trying to make fetch happen with Roman.
Yeah,
right. But at the end of the pay-per-view, Braun beat the shit out of him, so everybody went home happy.
Happy.
So is this like 3 years ago, it's 3 years ago, the WrestleMania 3 years ago, we're getting the tag team match. WrestleMania from 3 years ago, we're getting the main event. The WrestleMania from, and now Daniel Bryan is out. Braun Strowman's in as the new hot flavor of the week or the month. And they're like still trying to make Roman happen.
What I said in the chat was going to happen at WrestleMania is Braun Strowman is going to have to fight Triple H in the first match and beat him, then go into the triple threat match with Batista and Randy Orton and beat him with the Yes Lock.
Yes.
That's how Braun Strowman is going to win the championship. Yes. They're doing the same shit, but we're consuming it. So
It's the same shit, but I also want to draw another very similar parallel that happened, from the promo. The promo, Roman got on there. I'm glad you loved it, because I wanted to love it, but I didn't quite love it because there was something so glaring. I was like, man. And it was that this felt almost exactly like the same booking and the same angle and storyline as Cena versus Rock the first time.
Yep.
You're never here. You want to, you know, show up whenever you want to show up, whenever your contract is allows you to. And you show up, you get your big payday, then you go away, and we don't see you forever. Well, I'm tired of it. The boys in the back are tired of it. We're here every day busting our ass to get our championship opportunities, to get our main event at WrestleMania. You just waltz on in here whenever you want. It's bullshit, and I'm mad. It was the exact same fucking build.
That's not why I like the promo.
Well, that's why I didn't like the promo. What I did like, and this is where I think you're going to go. What I did like is the fact that for once, Roman sounded like he was speaking from here and not speaking from here, you know? It felt like they gave him some bullet points. He was like, I could get on board with this. And then just went out there and fucking lambasted fucking Brock Lesnar. Yeah. So I'm glad that he was speaking from the heart. It's just the angle and it's kind of whatever. But
yeah, that was the part that was like, okay, as he was talking about it, first thing I could think of is Cena wearing a shirt that says like the champ is here and having the belt right here. You know what I mean? Like I could feel that's already like the shit that he was going. Yeah, I'm like, okay, cool, that's fine. And I just started thinking because Brock Lesnar or Dana White cleverly posted that picture during Elimination Chamber, I think.
Yeah.
Of him and Brock Lesnar hanging out in, you know, with the UFC shirt. And I'm just like, it'll work, man. But it worked. It's working. Because everyone was like, oh, maybe he did no show.
Brother.
Yeah, maybe he did no show. Maybe he's like, whatever. Or maybe is there something happened over there? Now I was like, no, dude, they're fucking, it's perfect. Because now everyone was like, oh, maybe he's not going to, whatever. And then and it gets everyone's talking about, hey, maybe this can happen. That's a perfect way to bring in Braun Strowman's a happy ass in there to be like, well, how about this? Maybe
he might get back
exactly, and then he'll turn into the backup into a fucking triple threat.
Is it a work shoot that there might be rumors that Roman might get fingered for this the steroid thing, and he might go away? And
according to all the reports, that guy has no fucking case, but.
Are they running with those rumors just to throw in the doubt so that people can get excited? Because, oh, maybe it's not going to be Roman. Maybe it'll be Strowman. Oh, my God.
Maybe, but mind you, this guy's already been suspended once and they came back to win the fucking championship.
He wasn't even off television.
Yeah.
True.
So, yeah. I don't think so. I just think they're kind of working with all three moving pieces, and they're working with all of them. The Brock Lesnar contract situation, everyone looks like, oh, like it looks like he's going to UFC. But we got this last year. And then at the last minute, he's like, I'm coming back to WWE. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We have. He was going to go back to UFC. And then you have the Braun Strowman thing of everyone. That's who we want. That's who we want. That's who I want. That's who you want. That's who my mom wants. That's who everyone wants to be at WrestleMania. And then Roman, who has that's who Vince wants. So okay. We'll see what ends up prevailing or not. I'm all for it. As far as the Elimination Chamber, everyone I think besides The Miz had a really good place to shine. Everyone had a moment that I was like, oh, fuck yeah. Seth Rollins is like my favorite wrestler right now, just like current. He's like the shit. About fucking Bueller, Finn Bueller.
Bueller.
He was having a good time there, blueing it up. And yeah, everybody, Elias, everything he was doing. This song goes out to me. I can't wait to hear it. Oh, my God. Oh, God. I lost it when he said that. It was awesome. It was a fun match. It was cool. Miz got his ass whooped my fucking Braun in the match. And it was solid, man. I like where they're going with that. I'm intrigued, and I'm not bored. I'm just kind of like, yeah, fuck it.
So you enjoyed the match itself?
Entertain me, yeah.
All right. What about you? Did you enjoy the Elimination Chamber match itself? The men's Elimination Chamber?
Up to the point that it was the final two.
Okay.
In the moment, I was like, man, what a great way to put over the fact that you have somebody that's worthy of of a rematch with Brock Lesnar by going through the entire chamber.
Yeah.
No, they're going to give it to the one guy that pinned the other guy that blew everyone else out of the chamber. And my pessimism started growing as much as at the same time that the fans did. Because once they realized it was those two and Roman started getting his spots in, you could tell the fans already knew it was coming. You could tell more fans knew it was coming. To the end, people were like, oh, no.
There was no pop when he pinned him. There was no pop.
Yeah.
There was no,
it was like,
Okay. It was more of a pop when Strowman beat the shit out of him out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they know what – I think they know what they're doing. They're not stupid. Yeah. They play stupid. They get us mad and talking, but they know what they're doing.
I enjoy that stuff as well. Strowman killing everybody was cool. But what I really liked was Strowman taking everybody's finisher and kicking out sometimes at one.
Yeah.
And I bought – if Strowman had one, I would have bought hook, line, and sinker. Strowman is ready for Brock.
Yeah.
Even though he's already faced and lost to Brock twice.
Yeah.
One time one-on-one, one time in the meat soup match.
Yeah.
You know, I would have still forgot about all that and been like, this is the guy who's actually going to beat Brock Lesnar, finally.
Yeah.
You know, I think it is time that somebody beats Brock. And if it needs to be Roman, so be it. Because yeah. I think other people can beat Roman more convincingly, more easily, and more realistically than anybody else.
This is playing exactly how Vince wants it to play, because we're okay with Roman Reigns winning the title. And we're going to be okay, happy too, because the title is going to be on TV every week. We're going to have matches for that title. We're going to have other players. You know, Finn Balor hasn't got his opportunity for the rematch just because Lesnar's never there.
Right.
I mean, Rollins, everybody can have a chance. Cesaro, anyone's going to start having their chances at the main title on Raw because it's going to be there. You can't go after something that's not there.
And I think that leads into at least what I'm thinking. I don't know if you guys have other hot takes, but what I'm thinking leads to the title of our show tonight, the Roman Paradox. Because on the one hand, it's Roman. So you don't want to cheer him. You don't like him. Whatever. This and that. But on the other hand, it'd be really, really nice to have him beat Brock Lesnar so that we have the Universal title on TV for a weekly basis and actually make it into the title that Vince thought it should have been, which would have been bigger than the WWE title, which right now it's not.
No.
But maybe Roman getting that victory and bringing it back home and saying, see you later to Brock Lesnar, will kind of free up creative to, you know, be more creative. Because right now, for the last year and a half, there's been no creativity when it comes to the Universal title. It's Brock shows up, he beats somebody's ass, he goes away for 2 months, and then he shows up again and beats somebody's ass, and that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, there was glimmers of hope with Joe, there was glimmers of hope with Strowman, but at the end of the day, the go-home show before those pay-per-views was about as good as it got, where we're like, this guy might actually beat Brock. But then it's like, nah, fuck. I was stupid for thinking, of course, he was going to beat Brock. Mm-hmm. Come on, man. And even then, it was like our hope only got so high before it was dashed. But if you get that monkey off of the creative's back of we have to make sure this guy wins all the goddamn time, that's going to be a good thing. And if it's Roman, great.
So that Roman can win all the goddamn time.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's foregone conclusion, though.
They've done it. They've made it this obvious.
Stronger he'll than
be
Brock.
He'll be the next Cena. Yeah. He's not
he's already. Yeah,
he's not losing it until the next drug test. My hot take would be, if you really want us to believe that Roman's actually worth something, make him prove it. Throw his ass on SmackDown.
Okay.
And have everybody that everyone else likes on Raw.
Okay. Here's to play into that. What did they just do to get everybody? Oh man, Finn's actually badass. Hour long show at the Royal Rumble. What did they do to? Oh man, Seth is pretty good. Hour long match on Raw. What did they do with Strowman? He beat everybody's ass in the chamber. Roman hasn't done anything like that. If lasts an hour, or he like beats everyone's ass for like, you know, for another gauntlet match or something that's impressive and not like, oh my god, he's just overshadowing everybody, then maybe that'll turn people around on him.
He's got 5 weeks to get people to turn around on him so that when he does it to Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, people will actually give a shit.
Yeah.
Which brings me to the ultimate question. You, just like I did, like that Roman actually sounded like Roman, like a human being, instead of something that was completely scripted.
Yeah. Whenever I thought he was flipping over his script, he was like, I was like, ah, he's blowing it. He's blowing his fucking promo. But no, he was like, nah, fuck that. I'm gonna spit some truth to y'all. And that's when I was like, it was still at work, but I was like, cool. You got me at least thinking it's not.
Helped in the beginning when they showed the graphic that both of them were going to be in the ring at the same time. So that when Roman said Brock's not there, I was like, okay, now you have my attention.
Yeah.
And and then he kept going. It's like, all right, you haven't lost me. All right, you still haven't lost me. Oh, shit, he left the ring and he still didn't lose me.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good start.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You got 5 more weeks.
Yeah.
What do you think it's going to take for most – possible for everyone, but most of the internet wrestling community that dogs on Roman, what is it that he can do in the next 5 weeks to at least turn half of that group around, to at least tolerate him, so that at WrestleMania he'll be a bit more easier to swallow? Or
I don't think it's something he can do or he should do. It's something WWE creative and Brock Lesnar could do,
which is
no show again. Just keep, so Roman can just pound that fucking thing over and over.
Have Brock disrespect WWE so much
until WrestleMania. Yeah, he's already he's a champion. He doesn't have to earn anything else. He's there.
Okay.
Just keep no showing.
Basically, instead of doing something for Roman, do something on Brock's end of things that just make people hate Brock more.
Yeah.
And remember, if it's no show,
easy to hate.
He is very easy to hate. If he no shows,
I fucking hate Brock Lesnar, dude. I fucking hate him. I've never liked him and never will. So I can hate Brock Lesnar.
I wouldn't say that, but okay. So that's one thing. Another thing that I could say was just what I was trying to make the point of earlier. If you allow him to do something impressive in the ring, it worked for fucking Cena.
Yeah.
People like Cena now after the United States Open Challenge, where he had badass fucking matches on a weekly basis. Yeah. Can you imagine between now and Mania, he has a badass 30-minute match with Finn. He has a badass 30-minute match with Seth. A badass 30-minute match with Cena. A badass 30-minute match with Strowman. A badass 30-minute match with Bray and Miz. And now we're at Mania.
That's not going to fix the problem, because the wrestling community that dislikes him are going to further think that they're burying the competition.
Yeah.
So I'm leaning towards Arnold's idea that instead of trying to make Roman the lovable guy, make Brock the than Brock.
Like,
instead of anyone but Roman, it's literally going to be anyone but Brock between now and WrestleMania, so that people won't hate Roman. They might not like Roman, but at least they will hate him. And you're halfway there.
Do you think if Taker shows up and gives Roman the blessing, so to speak, like, hey, you beat me, he beat me, but I'd rather you beat him. Like, do you think that'll tick the needle on you?
Because Daniel Bryan tried giving Roman the blessing after they had the number one contenders after Fastlane a few years ago when Roman went to the title match. Even Daniel Bryan's blessing on Raw in front of the national audience. No, that didn't work. The Rock blessing him after the Royal Rumble. That didn't work. Undertaker, and that goes back to, again, the mindset of the internet wrestling fan. They're not going to look at Undertaker and saying, oh, man, Undertaker's making Roman look cool. Undertaker saying Roman is cool. No, I'm going to be looking at it as an internet wrestling fan saying, oh, man, that's another fucker that Roman Reigns got rid of that I would have rather wanted to see than Roman.
And then also the internet wrestling fan could say, oh, that's not Taker saying that. That's Vince, putting the puppet hand up Taker's ass to go out there and say, yeah, I guess so.
What I would have gone one step further, if they would have known, like, the week before if the pay-per-view had, and if Roman were actually to go up to the UFC building and bang on the door asking for Brock, are you busy sitting on Dana's lap, or you want to come out here and get some of this? literally throw it at him, like, hey, you didn't want to come to Raw, so now I'm here near the Octagon, and I still can't find you. Like, what's it going to take? Like, dude, like, again, go back to make Brock the asshole instead of make Roman the hero. Mm-hmm. You make Brock the asshole, and if you do things like that, where it's just those two, where he's like, all right, who do you hate more, Brock or Roman?
Yeah.
And the scales are going to tip if you do stuff like that. Like Steve Austin fighting in a grocery store against Booker T. Mm-hmm. Steve Austin throwing the belt into the river. Steve Austin showing up in a monster truck. Yeah. You didn't need anybody else to put Austin over. What he was doing as an anti-hero, which we tend to forget sometimes. Roman Reigns was the bad guy that everybody just wanted to like.
Yep.
So it has to be kept between the confines of the feud. And the feud right now is Roman and Brock. And Roman needs to do things to antagonize Brock the way Joe antagonized Brock. And they're built a fast thing where Joe was calling him out. And Brock was getting was standing there while everybody was holding Joe back. Joe coming up from behind and choking him out. Joe choking out Heyman. That was all in the confines of those two where you're like, oh, man, that fat fuck can actually beat Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Or at least I think so. So it needs to be Roman antagonizing Lesnar to the point that Lesnar – or he loses the belt. And it's more believable that Roman actually beat him rather than the committee or somebody saying, you know what, this is why we're going to give it to him because he took out a 45 F5s.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. So. Question. And I don't know if the answer is going to be any different than the stuff we've already said, but I just want to present it a little bit differently and ask you this. So, Chris, you first. We've been talking about what it would take to change the IWC's mind and their mind and the rest of the fans, most of the fans. What about you? What does it take for you, Joseph Christopher, sitting your ass right there in that chair for the next 5 weeks? What's it going to take for you to give a shit about Roman?
More of that.
Okay.
Because at Sunday, I was laughing with Travis going, oh, great. I kind of figured this was going to happen. And then 5 minutes later, I told him, hey, by the way, I'm going to Mania. Hope this match ends last so I can beat the traffic.
How do you feel about Roman right now?
I think you said it best. It's a start.
It's a start.
Okay.
We're getting there.
All right. I'm the same way.
What about you?
I'm the exact same way. That's a good start. Because I've been agreeing with you for months and saying I don't want to hate Roman anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Entertain me. And they're finally doing it. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, cool. Let's show me more of what I saw on Monday. More of Joe freaking Ukulama Wama or whatever his actual name. Anoa'i. Joe Anoa'i.
Yes.
Is that his name?
Yes.
Yeah. Show me more of that guy.
Uh-huh.
Little less Samoan Reign.
Yeah.
Right.
And then let's see what they got.
I think I'm there with you guys too, except on my pie chart, those pieces will be a little bit smaller and there's to make room for I want to see Roman do more in ring than what we normally see out of Roman. You know, Superman. But
we
punch,
never got
spear.
That from Cena.
Well, yes, we did.
Yeah, we did
get that.
Yeah,
it's the
Hurricane Rana, Springboard Stunner, the top rope leg drop.
Code Red.
Yeah.
Code Red.
No, you know what?
Throw something in there for Roman.
If
Roman does different things here and there where it's not, oh, it's just a Samoan.
Yeah. You need to make it look more believable. I would go back one step further and do, again, keeping it with Lesnar versus Roman, but actually bring something to the table that he can't run from. You know, because everybody's like, oh man, the destroyer, the eater of the conqueror, Brock Lesnar. Yeah. Well, you know what? They're focusing that Roman never beat Brock. Brock never beat Roman either because Seth came in and ruined it for everybody.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So there's just as much for Brock to want this match as there is for Roman to want this match, and they need to highlight more of the stuff that's believable, stuff that where they tell you, oh, by the way, you didn't beat me either, bitch.
Yeah.
Ah. That makes fucking sense. Last week when I told y'all, this is why I want Seth Rollins, and y'all were like,
oh, yeah.
Exactly. Give me facts that I can – to help me back up Roman's points. Be like, motherfucker, guy.
Well, if Roman's like, you never beat me, and Lesnar's like, I'm sorry, what? I'm counting my money. I don't care. Look how much money I have.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
Yeah. We kind of veered away from it, but I just kind of wanted to throw this out there because it's a little nugget. What if he were to add a submission? Roman. What? Because, I mean, Brock has the Kimura, and, yeah, there was a match where he just spammed the Kimura with Triple H, and it was a shitty match. But if he throws in – so instead of five fucking Superman punches, let's do two Superman punches and
– a Hell's Gate.
Well, a Hell's Gate, or well, maybe not Hell's Gate. Maybe, I don't know, like a fucking Deathlock or something. Like a
Yes Lock?
No, not the Yes Lock. I don't know, something. He could figure out something. It doesn't have to be too complicated. I remember that's what The Rock did back in the day when people – Yeah, when people were criticizing his in-ring ability, he added a sharpshooter. It wasn't the best sharpshooter, but it's something
Triple
different.
H added the Indian Deathlock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Miz added the figure four.
Yeah. I'm getting there.
Yeah, why you throw in fucking armbar. Be a simple armbar.
Yeah.
Cool. We're getting there. All right, let's talk about the women.
The women?
The women.
Ah, yes.
Who stood out to you?
Man, I want to say Alexa, but she was only in at the literally the tail end of the match.
Yeah.
But I really liked what she did. If I wouldn't say Alexa just because that disqualifies her, I have to say Bayley. Bayley took a nice ass whooping.
Yeah, dude, that's what I was gonna say too. Like Alexa, I was happy she won, and she looked good doing it in different ways. Looked good doing it.
Yeah.
Bayley held her own, and she brought it in the ring against all the girls. Absolution did not look as green as I thought they looked.
They were learning.
They stepped up.
They were in the beginning,
especially Sonya.
In the beginning, they both looked a few fries short of a Happy Meal. But as they were going, you could tell that they were getting their rhythm in there.
They were adapting as they went. Mickie James, I like both of them.
I like the fact that they were matching as well. Like, oh, these two are the legitimate, teammates.
Even Sonya even told Manny, he's like, get in there, I got this.
Yeah.
And so when he started, I was like, ah, cohesiveness. Yeah. That doesn't look like it's gonna break.
Yeah. Right.
The part that disappointed me was Sasha turning on Bayley because she didn't get anything from it.
Yeah.
What I would have liked in that moment was Alexa already on the floor, Bayley trying to climb up. Sasha kicks Bayley on top of Alexa. Sasha dives from the top and pins both of them, wins the title.
Yeah.
You still have five weeks for Alexa to get her automatic rematch clause as the champion and then go back to status quo.
And then Bayley can cost.
But that being said, I loved how they pulled it off the next day with Bayley.
Oh,
it's such an asshole move. Like, oh, I should have went.
I saw what you did there.
Yeah, I loved it, man.
Because I definitely felt like it fell flat
in
the chamber.
Did.
In the chamber, it was just like,
it was an afterthought. After the match was over, it was an afterthought. Like, she did that at the Rumble,
too. Was this the official heel turn of Sasha? I don't know. Like, it was.
But they kept, Coach and Corey kept driving it home. I think Coach more than Corey saying, dude, you can't be mad at her because it's everyone versus everyone.
Exactly.
Why it was beautiful when Bay did it? Because they were on each other's team.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, fuck you.
Yeah.
That was Bay saying, fuck you. Oh, I loved it. I love what came out of the chamber match. And I actually like where they're going with the women right now as far as Raw. It feels like everyone's got something going on. Mickey's kind of just tagging along with Alexa, but fuck it. You found something to do for Mickie James.
Well, what's interesting with Mickie and Alexa is that Alexa was always a unit with Nia. Then Nia kind of went away. And then, okay, Alexa is a unit with Mickie. And it wasn't until Monday that I realized, oh, wait a second. Low key, somehow Alexa now has a fucking stable. it's not Asuka just going to take out Alexa willy-nilly. No, Asuka's got to get through Mickie and Nia to get to Alexa. I was like, oh, shit, that could be interesting. No?
It was biting.
You're not
biting the first segment of Raw when the women came out, I was like, wait a minute, did I miss the Mickie heel turn?
Yeah, Mickie just –
I don't get this. Like,
she big showed it. She big showed it.
It's not working.
True.
What I'm hoping for is the one thing that I'm sure a lot of people aren't really noticing, because Alexa made it very clear that Nia deserves to be at WrestleMania.
Yeah, she keeps driving that home.
And
– yeah.
Even after the fact, they're still announcing on the post shows and on commentary, Asuka has not made her decision. So Alexa versus Nia on Raw for the women's title, and Charlotte defending against Asuka on SmackDown for the title on WrestleMania.
Yeah, I'm down for both of those.
And then after Asuka barely survived Charlotte's cash-in. And her first meaningful victory is ending Asuka's streak.
Oh God!
I called it. Wait till it happens.
It's
gonna be smelling like Summer's Eve all over the dome.
I would not be pissed off at
her. I wouldn't either. That's completely viable. She already went through a long match with one of the greatest women's wrestlers that there's on the roster right now.
That works for everyone involved, even Charlotte, because she'll look good in a loss.
Yeah.
And Asuka will be badass, have her WrestleMania moment, and then Carmella have her WrestleMania moment.
I mean,
let's go back to Russia.
Let's be a little bit honest here, though. The waters are kind of murky when it comes to what the hell is going to happen at Mania with the women.
That's what I love, because it's 6 weeks away. We don't know.
That's what I was going to say. Normally, we're like, oh, get your shit together, WWE. You need to build your card.
Yeah.
Raw and SmackDown women's division to be like,
SmackDown
okay,
women's division. Oh, you're retarded, bro. Yeah. SmackDown needs Asuka because that's fresh meat.
Yeah.
Okay.
They should switch her over after after WrestleMania.
Okay, well,
because they do the Riot reason... Squad is falling flat, and this
Pop I'm Puff... already sick of the Riot Squad against the three good girls. Like, I'm sick of it already.
Powerpuff Girls versus the Riot Squad is not working for anybody.
Which one's Buttercup? Like, I still has this doesn't been made clear to me.
No, Naomi's the orange one. No,
it's Becky's the old attitude. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Okay. Charlotte's Bubbles.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Charlotte's Bubbles.
Yeah.
My daughter was obsessed with Powerpuff Girls, so I was obsessed with Powerpuff Girls.
You were the doctor.
I was the doctor. I was
yeah. Damn.
Chemical X.
Did y'all...
Chemical X is his...
You enjoy the predictions? Because I think I called it pretty fairly. The second hour was complete, utter middling shit.
I did laundry. I did laundry and drank some more beers. Yeah.
Titus, Broken Hardys, and Asuka Nia, which we're getting again next week anyway. Exactly. So what the?
I wanted to talk about the match because it was a good match, but we're getting it next week, so that match doesn't matter.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it was decent enough. It was good enough. If you forget about their matches they had at NXT, like, oh, okay, cool. This is nice. I like to see. I want to see more of Nia. Like, I really like Nia.
Yeah.
I'm extremely like
Nia. Yes, in more ways than one.
She's not like most girls.
She isn't. She's not like most girls. She doesn't
take what she's given.
These matches. This match at the pay-per-view, it's like, it can be forgettable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like you said, those other two matches, Barb versus Titus Worldwide, Matt versus Bray, whatever. I don't care. And that hurts me to say about Matt versus Bray because I really, really wanted the Broken Woken Matt stuff to work.
It's not working. I liked the package right before the match. It was like, I finally cared. And then, like, 30 seconds into the match, I was like,
well, okay.
People were doing waves. Matt Hardy was doing the waves with them.
Someone blew up a beach ball.
Yeah.
Another chance for the beach ball. Like, okay, it's obvious.
Rusev Day chant in the middle. It's not working.
Pull the plug.
What about what's going on between, I guess, Strowman and Elias? Because I think that's what's really going to happen.
It's getting bold.
Strowman's not going to get in the ring with Roman at Mania. So
maybe. I think there's still a chance. If not Strowman, there's a name we're not mentioning because he's not on air. And who knows if he's healthy, but you give me Strowman versus Samoa Joe at WrestleMania?
Oh,
shit.
Ooh.
Give me all the stars. I'll throw them all on there.
I think they're planning something interesting with on Joe? Raw that we're going to end up getting Finn versus Seth for number one contender. And Miz is actually defending the Intercontinental title against Braun.
Where's that with Elias?
I hope that's not true because what I want is a triple threat match for the Intercontinental. Finn Balor, Seth Rollins, The Miz. I have another. It's going to kind of go into Raw and SmackDown, but John Cena, go ahead and say it. He came out, said, you know what, fuck it. I know what I need to do. I need to fight The Undertaker. And everyone was like, yeah. And I was like, oh, hey. Wow, they're actually going to do it. And he's like, nah. Oh, why you got to do that for? Oh, cool. Yeah. And then skipping ahead to SmackDown or whatever, and then not skipping ahead to SmackDown. I think I know who. Well, I saw something that there's a rumor on who John Cena's actual appointment with WrestleMania is.
What's the rumor?
He's right behind you.
Rey Mysterio.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, oh.
I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that, and that'd be fine. But
even though until Rey loses, then everybody remembers. Oh, by the way, Cena buries
people. Yeah.
Bam!
Or what I will hope so is a thing they started right before the Rumble, and then his foot fell off. Samoa Joe versus John Cena at WrestleMania.
Well, you're just sprinkling Joe everywhere, aren't you?
He finally passes the torch. Dude, I love Joe.
He took my torch.
I know.
He's running with it.
Yeah.
Your Joe Tiki stick over here.
The torch.
No, I want Rusev against everybody. Does that sound familiar?
Hold on. Let me check. Is that going to be on Rusev Day?
Holy fuck, it's on every day of the fall. Fuck.
I think it does fall.
Yeah. I didn't even know
Rusev
that.
Day.
It's on Rusev Day.
It took my idea. Remember when I did that? Yeah, ooh. Joe Mania. Because Roman Reigns is also Joe, so fuck it.
Yeah.
Joe Mania.
Joe's all over that. I see.
What else are we talking about?
Finn versus Seth? Eh. So which was the better match? Miz versus Finn? Miz versus Seth?
I'll go ahead and answer with my match of the week pick.
Ooh!
Seth Rollins versus The Miz. That match was fucking... Bam! Ooh, it was good.
Wow,
it was condensing. It was a condensing, a tight little box, and it got me good because it left me wanting did that Rob Van Dam style fucking frog splash from where it was like here all the way from, over like, there.
To the popcorn stand?
Yeah, dude, yeah. That was fucking solid. Solid. I was like, as soon as he landed, I out loud, I was like, Seth Rollins is my favorite wrestler right now. I just uttered it out loud to myself.
And until you injure like, somebody again.
Yeah, yeah, until you, you know, turns the other ACL. No, dude, yeah, that match was fucking good. The Miz looked really, really good in the match, too. Man, there's a point, I wish I could remember exactly what happened, but he kind of, like, did, like, a, or Seth was, like, kind of, like, dead-weighting himself, and then Miz said, fuck, no, I'm DDTing you anyway.
Yeah. The commentator said it, that Seth was trying to block it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Miz just went, fuck
yeah,
you.
Yeah, he just, bam, dude, it made Miz look so good, and Seth is just the bomb. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was my match of the week. That was my, that after the match was over, I was like, okay, currently match of the week pick, SmackDown, and I watch NXT last every single week, so SmackDown and Gargano Almas have to beat that, and they didn't. So we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
Wow. I need to go back and rewatch that Miz match because I
– You being the Miz, Mark.
I don't know. Maybe I just didn't pay enough attention to it. Maybe I should.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't even on my radar.
Yeah. But, yeah, the Balor match, it was that.
Okay.
You know what just popped up on my radar?
What?
I don't think we settled match of the week from last week. Did we all agree that Seth versus Cena was the match of the week?
I don't.
Did we?
No. I know that was my pick. But I think you had your cruiserweights.
Did I?
Yeah, one of the cruiserweight matches was your favorite.
Okay.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Thought we had that covered.
Right. Okay. Is that it from Raw? Are we done with Raw?
No. Almost.
No.
We're forgetting the main event.
So. We got Brock because he's a homegrown dude, former heavyweight champion, went to UFC, busted ass, came back. You think Brock brought any casuals with him? You think Brock brought any UFC fans with him?
He may have. Maybe a little.
Or is the cash cow now with Ronda?
Man, even then, I don't think it is.
We didn't talk about Ronda at all.
That's why I said
we're about to.
Yeah.
I honestly don't think that's a big... I hate saying it, but I don't think that's as big of a deal as the WWE wants to be.
Is it because she lost those two matches? Yes,
that's solely why. Because I love Ronda Rousey.
Mm-hmm.
I just see her now, and every time I see her, I see that.
Yeah.
I see it. I'm just like, I can't unsee her face getting fucking shell-shocked.
Yeah. I don't know, because I'm not a UFC fan. So that's a hard question for me to answer. But I hope it does, because who doesn't want more fans of wrestling? You know?
For sure.
But as far as I'm concerned, as far as I care, the stuff with Kurt was kind of dumb.
Kurt is not good right now, dude.
Kind of dumb?
It was bad.
It was bad.
The stuff at the chamber was stupid.
Yeah.
But I liked where it was going. It just was not executed.
I understand what they were trying to do.
Yeah.
They were trying to do Derpy Kurt where it was like, well, hey, didn't you say this? Like, shut up, Kurt. Mm-hmm. But, like, he said way too much to even it be kind of derpy. Yeah. But he said it to
and
where
they tried
it
to cover
was,
up
like,
the next day.
It didn't work, man. It was bad. Bad.
Yeah, it was like, bad.
It was terrible.
But I think Monday segment was good, and I think Ronda's getting more and more comfortable. This is two times, but she's getting more comfortable behind that mic.
I was gonna say that because Sunday, I like Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
I've watched a lot of her fights. It only took about 13 minutes of my life to watch all of Ronda Rousey's fights. Yeah. For her, even now, for people that don't know. Up, she gets emotional. She's gonna talk about it. She thought about suicide for a while after the first loss to Holly Holm because her world came crashing down. Mm-hmm. And then after Amanda Nunes, which by the way happened in the same arena, her second loss to Amanda Nunes happened in the same arena at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. So for her to be there in that moment, actually getting a crowd pop in that moment, I could give her a bit of a break, even though she claims to be a wrestling fan. She has Roddy Piper's old jacket, the blessing from the family. She's been watching wrestling. She should already know that the crowd likes to go for themselves, and she needs to. And she failed damn near miserably on Sunday.
Oh man,
that was part of the failure of the entire execution. Was that Ronda's facial expressions and Ronda's timing on the mic? She saved it a couple of times by being herself, being off script. But as soon as she went back to, I need to get back to bullet point C. I'm fucked. Monday was a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
a hell of a lot better.
It was progress.
Because she felt more crowd, she felt more comfortable on the microphone, and she actually did something. Something that we remember of her doing as wrestling fans, not of MMA fans, just wrestling in general. Oh, 3 years ago, WrestleMania 31, Ronda whooped Triple H, flipped him over. Oh, right. Last Monday, Ronda flipped Triple H on the fucking table. Okay, now I remember why I like her.
Yeah.
What I really did like about what had happened was more or less the outcome and a few of the details in between. One big fucking detail that I'm so happy about is that they're running with the story of saying that she didn't want to be handed a title opportunity. She wants to have a regular contract, work regular dates like any other wrestler on the roster, and earn a spot. Mm-hmm. So, no, I don't want a title match at Mania. Just give me a contract, and I'll earn everything that I keep. I fucking love that because that squashed completely all of the rumors of, oh, well, it's going to be Asuka versus Rousey or Rousey versus Charlotte or Charlotte versus Alexa or you know, whatever.
Less David Arquette and Karl Malone, more Mike Mizanin in 2006.
Okay, yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
Now, the execution of the talking is the biggest hurdle for everybody.
Yeah.
Did she improve from Sunday to Monday?
I agree that she did improve from Sunday to Monday. I totally agree with that. I think she improved from the first time we saw her at Rumble to Sunday. So
she just pointed. I mean,
she pointed.
And even then, she did it like six times.
But there was a thing after it went off the air. I guess I don't know if it was just on the post show or something. Yeah. And that interview was terrible.
It was Kalisto style.
Yeah, it was really bad. But you know,
she made up for it by actually being at ringside with the fans for a good 10 or 15 minutes after all that, signing autographs, taking selfies, talking about Dragon Ball.
I want to bring up something here, and I wish Randy was awake and sitting on the couch to help me with this, because Randy's the one who researched this and found all this out about Ronda. Apparently, she had some sort of it wasn't a speech impediment, but more of a mental block. And it was an actual, Porsche, do you remember what the word was? What?
It began with an A.
It began with an A? Okay. I don't remember what the condition was called, but she had a condition where it was just extreme fear of speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Just speaking altogether. Yeah. Not in front of a crowd, just speaking to anybody. Yeah. And one of the things that got her over it was she wanted a specific John Cena doll from a Toys R Us when she was younger, and she had to it was supposed
How old
to be there.
Is she?
She's like really young. She's like 20 something.
No, you're looking at the wrong end of that coin, dude. Imagine John Cena has been in the business for about 15 years.
He's been around for 15 years. So she wanted the thing and it wasn't available, so she tried to get this Cena doll and she wasn't able to because she didn't want to speak to anybody. And she kind of got over her fear so that she could get this John Cena action figure. And that kind of helped her get out of her shell a little bit and to learn to speak a little bit better. And I mean, Randy could tell the story better than I can, because like I said, she's the one who researched it. But after seeing that and seeing that story, I was like, okay, I kind of get it. She went from being almost completely fucking mute to where she's at now, speaking in front of everybody on national fucking TV. I have to be a little impressed, and I might be willing to give her a bit of a pass. At this point, yeah, you are, you know, 10, 15 years removed from this condition or whatever. But, honey, you got to learn. If you're going to be in show business, you got to be there.
That's verbal apraxia.
Apraxia, there you go.
So
apraxia.
Her problem isn't going to be – I don't think – her problem is speaking, because she had no problem talking to Seth, to Joe Rogan after every knockout about describing what happened in the fight and why, what she was looking for, what was the weakness, and what was going on. She could talk on the microphone. She can answer questions.
Yeah.
She was on Ellen. She was talking about her whole kerfuffle about life after knockouts. But it's people tend to forget athletes are not always actors. She is playing a character. She has a script that she has to either memorize or at least the bullet points. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be work in progress that she will get if, not just storyline wise, but in reality, if she's that willing to earn her spot, if she's going to be traveling on the road with these girls or traveling with some of the guys that she knows that know how to talk, that can break down something to look for, break down things that you want to talk, say, ways you want to articulate, things you want to get across, certain faces that you make after enunciating certain things to get your point across that you are not lost when you're talking. You know, and that's what she's gonna get.
As far as in ring, I tagged Houston Wrestling Radio, and I don't know if you guys saw it in the actual like, it's like a sparring session slash like, kind of
like a demo,
like a demo that they were doing. They were like adding in shit that they would do in an actual match. Dude, she looks crisp. She looks like,
and that's really is what's going to be the selling point with Ronda Rousey if she's that good. Because we kind of give Asuka a pass for her promos because she doesn't speak the language. But god damn, she's good in the fucking ring. So with Ronda being, you know, not that great at promos, they got to sell her on the fact that, god damn, she's good in the ring. But we don't know yet. So she kind of has to.
It's going
to
take time because remember, guys, before Rusev Day, Rusev was shitty on the mic. And he was in NXT.
Yeah.
So he was supposed to get all that rust off. So it takes time.
He has to find something that works and has to work doubly badass. It's the Abraham Quintanilla speech from the movie Selena.
Yeah, to be just whiter than the white people and more Mexican than the Mexicans.
It's exhausting.
Randy did say in the live chat, aphasia, that's what it's called. It's not that she didn't want to speak. She couldn't. Her brain couldn't form ideas into words. It's a neurological condition. It's obviously gotten better over time, but it doesn't fully go away.
Yeah.
So there you go.
So she needs to be a Paul Heyman girl.
Yeah, and you know what? That'll fucking work 100% because, you know, he's the advocate. Easy to make the transition to the former UFC girl, Ronda Rousey.
That'd be perfect.
It's too perfect.
Usos, New Day, Bludgeon Brothers, man. SmackDown, go.
Segment of the week, dude. Segment was so good. It started, the New Day's day started badly. A little segment backstage with Breezango and Josh Duhamel.
Mm-hmm.
Where they were doing the hey, you're not a detective. The whole thing goes funny. But they were talking about how, yeah, they're doing a documentary on Biggie. And Biggie's like, yeah, me. No, not you, Biggie. Not you, Big E. Biggie Smalls. Me. Yeah. So that's how that
started. Freestyling.
Yeah.
It was funny.
It was stupid. So I was like, okay, they're still silly. They came out. They were doing their all, you know, whatever. It was like, okay, cool. And then Usos came out and said, hold up, man. Let's be serious for a minute. And then he would just straight, bam, we did this. And something that I did not know. I know they beat the Dudleys on the pre-show match in Dallas. But other than that, I did not know they've never had a WrestleMania match.
Yeah.
And I love that they refer to themselves as dressing up all colorful and other shit. Being the New Day before the New Day was the New Day, basically.
Yeah.
Trying to be, but they were like, whatever, just annoying about it.
I kind of like the fact that they were being kind of real. You know, it was all work.
Yeah, no, that's why I like the promo, because Big E got real.
Yeah.
He's like, no. We've been here. We've been here for 5 years. We have no one's back inside. We're right here, and we're here. We busted our ass. And it's not because of our daddies. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
When he said that, I was like, ooh, it's good. Man, it's getting good. And it was just, man, it was about to come to a, we're like, okay, you know what? They're the matchup. We keep saying, I don't want to see it anymore, but I want to see it again. Fight forever. But now they added the perfect little thing.
Okay.
The Bludgeon Brothers.
That's what sealed it for me.
They came in like Kane, old school Kane style, like bam, huh? And then,
That's what did it for me.
They all agrees. Like, you know what? I'm not fucking with those big ass hands.
Yeah. While they were having a good promo, while they were being real with each other, still, there was a little bit in the back of my mind of, all right, we've kind of seen this to death.
Yeah.
And there might be a little bit of, well, them every time they have a match, it's good kind of thing. But, man, it's not going to be as exciting as it would be if it was something new. You know, even though I know it's going to be good. But then when the Bludgeon Brothers came out and they teased again, they're not saying that they're fighting the Bludgeon Brothers at Mania. Mm-hmm. The Bludgeon Brothers are just kind of like happen to show up when they're out there and they happen to have a match. You know, and so it's like, okay, well, they go out there and everyone runs away and they kind of eyeball them. And it's like, look, we just had this real moment, me and you.
Yeah.
We need them. We need to worry about those guys.
Yeah.
Those guys are like, hey, so we can continue making. you know, we respect each other and all that.
The fuck is wrong with those guys?
We need to take these guys out. Okay.
So at Fastlane, it's the Usos versus New Day.
Yeah.
Somehow we need to get into a triple threat tag team match.
Somehow.
Maybe even throw Gable and then
in there. No. Maybe.
Benji Gable.
No Ben Gable.
No.
Put them in
there. They're about as useful as Titus Worldwide right now. Like, no.
One thing I don't know about Titus Worldwide.
For Wakanda. Worldwide.
Oh, Apollo.
You noticed that, right? Or did it just click? Because that's what they do. That's what they did on Sunday, Monday. They did this before they did the Worldwide.
I didn't see them do that.
Go back.
Huh.
One thing I've been noticing about all this shit show about Apollo and everybody, Apollo is fucking just gaining more, to me, gaining more momentum as far as in-ring. And the commentators are talking him up. Coach is like his best fucking like thing right now. Coach is talking him up. Because the first time he saw him wrestle, he's like, he did that shooting star press standing or whatever. He's like, wait, you don't need to do that. And now on Monday, he's like, hey, I know I said I didn't like that, but I like that now. You know, like he's talking him up. And that fucking, nobody caught that. He did the fucking lowdown. He did the lowdown. He ended the second match with the lowdown. They went 0-2. They went 0-2, but they almost won with that lowdown. But other than that, yeah.
Can we talk a little bit about that 2 out of 3 falls?
Just a little bit, because it didn't last that long for me to give a fuck.
Yeah.
This was the second time that the Bar has won a 2 out of 3 falls match 0-2. Yeah. Is that going to be their thing? 2 out of 3 fall matches and they win?
They sweep.
Yeah, they sweep. Is that going to be their thing?
The question is, who do you want to see them fight next? Because I sure as fuck don't want to see them against Titus Worldwide.
It's the revival.
I sure hope so.
That's all that's left.
Say yeah.
Yeah. But that's heel versus heel. No one wants to see that.
Yeah, you're right.
The club?
I see that.
I don't know.
No, yeah, we've already seen that.
Nakamura against English.
Young Bucks. Oh, God.
Nakamura against English.
Nakamura had a decent little match.
Solid match.
It was against English, so we know who was going to win. Rusev being out there, you know, you want to talk about who's the Daniel Bryan now? Shit, man, Rusev. Maybe it's Rusev. Rusev's the Daniel Bryan.
And they're smart. They know what they're doing, dude. They're getting us to talk about it, man.
And I think.
You think Rusev is going over Nakamura at Fastlane?
Tuesday was Rusev Day, so that was on Rusev Day too.
Yeah, they were back on for Rusev Day.
Oh, yeah.
They took Rusev Day off last week. Yes. That's what happened.
Yes.
So, yeah, they were back on this week, and it was, you know, pretty cool.
And on the next Rusev Day, they're going to be on there again, hopefully. Hopefully. Because Mania is on Rusev Day.
Yeah. Well, every day is Rusev Day.
Right.
So you got married on Rusev Day?
I did.
So did I.
Yeah. Huh. Congratulations.
So did I.
Yeah.
Can't win them all.
No.
But it ended.
On Rusev Day. Rusev Day.
Yeah. I had to wait 30 Rusev Days for it to be official. So on that 31st Rusev Day is when I became an alcoholic, because I partied like it was 2015. Ooh. Wasn't that the last Roman Lesnar 2015?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Rusev versus Nakamura at Fastlane?
I'm down for that. Okay. That'd be interesting.
You got Rusev beating Nakamura at Fastlane? Nakamura cannot lose
until...
I don't want anything to ruin my fucking AJ style.
Randy Orton.
No, he wins.
Braun Strowman.
No, 1-on-1.
He wins the U.S. title at WrestleMania.
Who?
Okay.
Rusev. Find a way to make it happen.
Okay.
He beats Randy Orton. Yeah. Or he beats Bobby Roode.
As long as we get AJ versus Nakamura, 1-on-1, no shenanigans, nothing like that, I'll be happy.
You know what? Don't even put him in a match. Have him host WrestleMania on Rusev Day. Make it all about Rusev.
Rusev and Aiden English are just out there singing.
I want to hear them singing freaking New Orleans from Kid Rock.
Oh, welcome to WrestleMania.
Yeah, just see it in the show. See it in the show.
Something about my theory just keeps popping up as being validated, because in LA, for whatever reason, Cena versus AJ 3.
All day I kept saying to myself, I kept thinking of you when I was in the shower. I kept thinking of Chris, like, hey, tonight SmackDown's going to be at Staples Center. It's going to be a good one. Because every time they're at Staples Center, every time they're at a marquee city, bring it. It's a, they treat it like a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was all right. But yeah, but I knew I was going to get something stellar, and they tried. They gave
35 minutes of Cena versus AJ. I didn't watch it. Was it as good as last year's Match of the Week winner?
No. I think that was my Match of the Week pick. Cena versus AJ.
Better than the first two.
I wouldn't say
better than SummerSlam.
No.
Better
no.
than Royal Rumble.
No, 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 no.
I think it was better. What was the first one?
SummerSlam.
I think it was better than
where AJ beat Cena.
I think it was better than anything else this week. That's what I'm saying. It's my Match of the Week.
Match of the Week candidates 2 years in a row, but this week's like not even a week. Yeah, baby
this,
week.
This yeah. week's was all right.
It was all right.
Yeah, it was a solid like 8 out of 10.
Was the crowd into it?
Crowd was kind of
into it. Did you not watch this match?
I didn't watch.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
The crowd was kind of into it. They weren't really that into it. LA didn't do a good job this week. Oh, on Tuesday. They were like.
Not the first time.
Yeah.
They got so bland after the third SummerSlam there that they moved it to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cena's in this match now.
Yeah.
They advertised them months ago when they sold these tickets that Cena was going to be actually on the show.
Really?
So I kind of already knew that one way or another, Cena was going to be on this match, and they played it perfectly. Yeah, Cena is looking for a road to Mania, so he's taking the road.
Hold on here. What the fuck are they doing with Cena?
He's going to lose in this
Cena's
match.
Cena's going to lose.
And I mean.
And then he's not going to have a road to WrestleMania, quote unquote. But
I think what I'm thinking and hoping it's Samoa Joe.
Oh, I mean. Forget his opponent. That's not what I want to focus on. What I want to focus on is Cena and his own character development and what the fuck they're doing with this particular match. Because after WrestleMania, when he lost to The Rock and he was sitting on the fucking ramp. And then all of a sudden,
returning Brock Lesnar.
He was back to the same Cena that we all know. And then he had that big run, and you know, when people started turning around on him, thought he was great.
But he was still full time.
Right. But now, what the fuck are they doing with Cena? Is this, and I hate to bring this up, I hate to be that guy, but is this finally Cena heel turn?
No. No, because he's garnering sympathy from us.
Cena heel turn? No.
Okay.
A new John Cena? I hope so.
Yeah.
There was one thing that was missing on Sunday on the Gauntlet match when they interviewed Cena, and they didn't do it, and I was kind of disappointed. So I'm hoping that somehow next week on SmackDown, if they have all the guys in the ring, I need Cena to be Austin. The promo before WrestleMania 17 where Jim Ross is between Stone Cold and The Rock, and Steve's like, you know, man, I need to beat you. Mm-hmm. I need to beat you more than you can ever imagine because after this, I don't have a WrestleMania. If I don't have this victory, I don't have a WrestleMania. So I have to do whatever it takes. Mm-hmm. And if that means you're going to see a side of me that no one's ever seen, whether it's my family, my friends, my fans, my Make-A-Wish kids, or even you, bet you're going to see something for me to make me get this win because I need this win.
There's going
to
be something
I need that next week for me to actually give a fuck about Cena. Otherwise, he's getting lost. Right now, 16-time champion, looking for something to do, like the lost warrior, you know, something. There's something you can do something with him. You don't necessarily have to turn him into the Hollywood Hulk Hogan from WCW, but you can make him stoic. You can make him more pensive. You can make him actually think about things and watching him struggle through the decisions he makes.
And you know why?
Like fucking Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood where they're just showing kids how to feel and how to understand how you're feeling so you can better prepare yourself for the next feeling. Cena right now is in a great place for him to actually add a completely different character. You don't necessarily have to make them a Stone Cold bad guy, but don't make him the Fruity Pebble. Put him somewhere in the middle that everyone can relate to.
And you know why? Because of Roman Reigns, too.
Yeah. He's going to be the new guy.
Exactly. Yeah. So he can do something different.
And that's kind of what I want. Okay, maybe a heel turn is a bridge too far. But something that Jericho does every goddamn time he shows up and he comes back, he's reinvented himself. And everybody loves how great Jericho is at reinventing his character. Is it about high time that Cena does something? And is this whole little angle going to be more than just an angle, but like a character development for him? And is he going to change?
I said this earlier about Roman. And I'm going to say the same thing about John. Right now, he can be in the point of his career where he says, you know what? I need to make sure that the next generation is ready so that there's still a business for my kids and my grandkids to watch.
Okay.
I'm going to NXT to make sure these kids are ready. Damn. And have Cena in NXT. Imagine a takeover co-headlining with Cena against your next indie guy that could be the future of the company.
Wow. That'd be interesting. That'd be ballsy of WWE to do. I don't know if they have the stones to do
that. He doesn't have to be on every episode of NXT. Put him on every takeover. Dude, that's your open challenge right there. Take it to NXT.
Seth in the live chat on your diatribe there before I jumped in, he just said preach. And then he said preach. And then he said preach again. He has his little napkin. Yeah. Going, preach.
I do declare. He's, but now's a good time to do something to him.
Regular Jim Jones over here.
Yeah.
More like Kendrick. Oh, man. Is that it for SmackDown?
I guess so.
So we just had a post show for Elimination Chamber. Next week is our prediction show for Fastlane.
That was fast.
That's why I love that we're going to once a month dual branded pay-per-views after Mania.
Yeah, that's true.
Although our prediction shows and our post shows tend to be faster, which I like because I get to go spend time with my daughter.
I get some fresh donuts and shit, please.
Yeah, this episode's going a little bit longer, but
Oh, we don't got much left.
Let's go.
Okay.
I've got a quick question.
Who wants to walk?
If Miz gets pinned during this Mitch Match Challenge tournament, is Asuka still undefeated? Because they were harping a lot about this on commentary, and that's starting to be a problem for me. Because I do not want Asuka's undefeated streak to be on this. And the fact that now, today, Michael Cole's like, oh my God, she was this close. He was. Could have lost her streak after that pinfall or whatever. Like,
that's how they were spinning it? Because I didn't watch it.
Thursday, it'll be on the network. Watch it and listen to the commentary. It left a sour taste in my mouth. Well, but they're actually contemplating that Asuka, like, if she loses in this tag team match, even if she's not the one taking the fall, her undefeated streak is over.
It's technically it's not untrue.
She hasn't been – she herself she has not been pinned or submitted. Just so like she hasn't been beaten.
Just like Aleister Black.
That's what they did with Samoa Joe because he lost in that triple threat match that everybody talks about in TNA. But after that, well, he's never been pinned or submitted.
Yeah.
And they continued with that for like another 6 months.
Just like Aleister Black.
Yeah. Maybe, but dude, I wouldn't like it.
I wouldn't like it.
But it's good to be technically right. That's the best kind of
right
to
be. When does this tournament end?
Like right before Mania.
4 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, right before Mania.
No, she needs to win this tournament.
Okay.
205!
Not live. So is it just called 205? 205 taped?
Why?
Because they filmed it before SmackDown.
Did they?
Yeah, because they do the mixed match live after SmackDown.
And then after the mixed match, they go right
into air 205 live.
I thought they kept going live.
Seriously?
I thought
they
keep
going. I guess I must have read wrong.
They keep going.
Fuck that, dude. That's so much. I mean, it's the same shit.
This week was 45 minutes of 205 after, but they could pull it off in LA because they're 3 hours behind.
Yeah.
So their Raw starts at 5.
Damn.
When I went to WrestleMania 21, I left the pay-per-view, and the sun was still out.
Holy fuck!
Fuck yeah!
Oh, remember that?
It was 8 o'clock. It was WrestleMania
31. You tried to have the spooky entrance with Bray Wyatt. It was still daylight outside. Yeah.
Shit! When we left 24, all the restaurants were closed because it was like 12:30 when it was over. Like, God damn.
Yeah. Damn. That dude. Fucking Sun Life Stadium sucks.
And they keep going back to it.
What's Sun Life? Orlando?
Yeah, Orlando.
Citrus Bowl.
Well, now it's the Sun
Life World Stadium. Now
they changed the name three times.
No, the bigger problem is that they're thinking about actually having WrestleMania next year back at MetLife.
Yeah,
it was freaking freezing out there. People, I had friends that went. They had heaters on the posts.
Yeah.
So that the air could waft into the ring because it was that cold.
I think it's like confirmed already.
Oh,
and these, I think what? Is it one of them's going to no, that's the Super Bowl. Georgia needs to have one again.
The new one in Megatron's butthole.
Yeah, open door thingy on the top.
The Super Bowl's going there, but WrestleMania has it. Why the fuck can't we have another one? It's been like fucking over 10
Dallas.
Years.
Fuck Dallas.
Yeah.
All right. 205 Live. I have two matches of the weekend. Both of the second round matches were good. That was all that the show was, just those two matches. We had Cedric Alexander versus TJP.
That was fun.
That was really fun.
Cedric won.
TJP was putting on a clinic on how to slap on different submissions. It was fucking brilliant. His
tryout for UFC.
Yeah, that's what I really enjoyed.
He's got about a minute.
Yeah.
He gets that door.
And then
defeated Kalisto. So Cedric Alexander against Roderick Strong in the semifinals.
Yes. Roderick Strong. Yeah, Roderick Strong, dude.
Is there another one of those? I don't like him yet, but he really put on a good, match.
Exactly. Dude, the way he threw Kalisto when they were outside, like, okay, Kalisto got on the barricade. Walked the barricade, then tried to put Roderick in a Hurricane Rana. Roderick blocked it, tried to get him up into a powerbomb position. That got reversed into an actual Hurricane Rana into the barricade. Kalisto got up. Roderick got up. Roderick was like, fuck you. Puts him up in a suplex. Now they're in front of the announce table. Puts him over in front of the suplex and just lets go.
Suplex bomb.
Right onto the announce table. That whole fucking exchange was fucking awesome.
There's one spot that hooked me that might make it my match of the week pick.
Okay.
And it was the commentary. Kalisto hit him with something and it was a quick two count. Not a close to three. And Nigel McGuinness on commentary said that looked like it was closer to two than it was to three. So Kalisto's going to have to do a lot more to get Roddy out. That attention to detail.
Cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nigel's good, man.
Nigel's really good at what he does.
That might be my match of the week pick.
We'll have to watch that.
Yeah, no, it was good, man. It was really good.
It sucks that the crowd wasn't into it. They were into TJP because he's homegrown PWG from Cali. Yeah. They don't even have that PWG chance for him. But
he's an LA guy.
Yeah. But yeah, man.
Let's do a time warp and go back to last Wednesday.
NXT.
The Rhodes Tag Team Classic.
That's another match of the week candidate.
The announcement of the pick?
No. Almas versus
Gargano 4. Yeah.
Gargano.
I missed it. I knew the ending, It was a really good match.
It wasn't like their match at TakeOver. The match at TakeOver was fucking brilliant.
But this
match had more shenanigans in it, more stuff earlier.
They got it out of the way early.
Yeah.
Zelina Vega and
Candice LeRae.
Ciampa, the Blackheart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Leaving his mark again.
But I loved that, okay, what happened was, if you didn't watch it,
I saw the end.
Okay, yeah.
I heard Mauro screaming like a girl.
I was making a big deal about this.
Mauro was going crazy.
Yeah. Well, so was Percy.
Yeah.
Even Nigel was like, no one wants to see him go.
Yeah.
So they sold it really, really well.
It's too bad the rest of Atlanta didn't.
Oh my God.
That crowd was like.
That crowd sucks so much, dude.
Yeah.
But anyway, don't get me started on that.
Look at time.
I'm over here wanting a WrestleMania there. he does like an elbow and he misses and he catches the ref. So the ref's out and then Gargano puts him in the Gargano escape. And what I love is that Almas was about to tap. Meaning, even if he would have tapped and the referee would have seen it, somebody could still say, oh, well, he tapped. Oh, that means Gargano should have won. None of that bullshit. Because still, even he was like, oh, I don't want to. And then Ciampa went, boom! Mm-hmm. And then he limped back.
Mm-hmm.
He walked over, but he limped back.
It was because he has a crutch. Yes.
Not because he's gangster like that. Once the job's done, you show up with that strut.
Yeah, he's got that pimp limp.
That gangster walk now.
Yes.
Thug life.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, dude, what Gargano and Almas have is chemistry. That somewhere down the road in WWE, I want to see again.
Yeah, because apparently.
The cruiserweight title.
Because he's 0-4 against them.
Yeah, apparently it's not going to happen. You know, in NXT, because
he's out.
Bye bye.
Now, what does that mean for Gargano?
For Ciampa and Gargano, you know, whole reason why he lost was because Ciampa, you know, attacked him. So naturally, the wrestling booking is okay. Well, you got to have a payoff for that feud. Mm-hmm. But how are you going to have a payoff for that feud if he's no longer in the brand or in the company? Quote unquote.
Well, they've done it before. So
our introduction to Sami Zayn on the main roster was the U.S. Open Challenge with Cena. Mm-hmm. So that fans can be like, you know what? That little guy's kind of a big deal. But it was until the next Royal Rumble where Kevin Owens got rid of AJ Styles and Sami Zayn came out as the next entrant, and the commentary put over that these guys have a history in NXT before NXT, before. And as soon as they got in the ring, they were elbowing each other to death.
Yeah.
And they put that over well enough that you knew those two guys – I don't think they like each other. And all it takes for either Almas and Gargano or Ciampa and Gargano is that moment where you see them and there's an immediate dislike of one another. And for the commentary to put it over in front of the right crowd, for the crowd to put it over, you know, in Orlando where they had the NXT forever, and it, you're made. You're made.
Okay.
Just don't beat it to death like you did.
I'm thinking shenanigans as far as the cruiserweight tournament. Someone like, takes a bump and wrong, and he has no opponent. Freaking Rebel Heart comes out.
Well, they're too far along in that cruiserweight tournament now. They're down to
one more bracket than the semis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's already aired, so it could be any minute now.
Yeah, I guess so.
Somebody could take a wrong bump, and then the Rebel Heart plays, and then he's in the tournament. He's in the match at WrestleMania.
You think Ciampa's ready to wrestle? Or are you talking about Gargano?
Gargano.
Because you're calling him Rebel Heart. Rebel Heart is not Gargano.
That's his song.
That's his song.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he –
that meant Blackheart.
So he joins the Cruiserweight tournament.
And he's loses because that's what he does.
He's at WrestleMania facing God knows who, Cedric.
Oh, my God.
And then – the middle of the match, freaking Ciampa follows his bitch ass to the WrestleMania.
And that's the Gargano down the ramp on the crutches. Oh, fuck.
He starts walking at the
dude, soon as the match starts. Do it slow and have fucking Gargano look over shoulder every fucking move. No, he doesn't do shit. Gargano wins the belt and Ciampa beats the fuck out of
him. It'll be like an Austin Powers where he's coming with the steamroller. He's like, no! And he's like way ahead of you.
Deadpool and the Zamboni. You're about to die! In 5 minutes.
Goddamn. One thing that Mauro said that kind of caught my attention, I don't know if it was just a fuck up.
Mauro Mia?
Yeah, well, Mauro referred to Ciampa as a Sicilian psychopath.
Yeah, that's the deal. That's his moniker.
Well, it was his moniker in ROH. That's what he was known for.
In the Cruiserweight Classic, they still call him a Sicilian psychopath. He was already on NXT before then. So,
has a shirt that says it.
That's no.
All right. Is that it for NXT? Yeah. Well, no. The tag tournament. They're doing the Bro Classic.
Disappointed
again
at the teams because there isn't anything new. Unless you want to count Mustache Mountain. There aren't 16 teams this time, I think. It's only eight.
Eight.
Oh.
Yeah.
And I. TM61 versus Authors of Pain in the next round. That sucks,
man, because I want both of those to go far.
Yeah.
No, you want Authors of Pain on SmackDown or Raw already.
Okay, then that's a good idea. You convinced me.
You convinced me with my own logic.
The science of peer pressure. Congratulations. That's the only way I made it to Mania this year anyway. Fucking stuff. Right.
I do want these drugs.
Here are two free passes. That's better.
Yeah, TM61 versus Undisputed Era at WrestleMania. Or TakeOver Philadelphia.
Okay.
Ooh, or no, TakeOver
Orlando. Yeah, TakeOver New Orleans.
Whatever, man. The Undisputed Era versus TM61.
I'm down.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good in stone.
All right, what else, Chris?
That's it, man. That's the whole show. Well, one last thing.
Okay.
If you, in case you needed any further convincing, I'm going to ask you guys ahead of time. Put it on your DVR, go to somebody's house, stream it illegally, download it illegally. You already have my credentials. You guys need to be watching Strong Style Evolve.
When is it?
Sunday, March 25th, two weeks before WrestleMania.
I think I'm free.
Oh, it's Rusev Day.
Yeah.
It falls on Rusev Day. Okay.
Yeah.
The newest match that's been announced, the Young Bucks, are now in the heavyweight division.
Tag division.
They
broke up a little bit.
They're, fucking they're gonna be fighting the Golden Lovers.
Yeah.
So Kota Ibushi and Kenny Omega against the Young Bucks.
Wow.
And that's already added on top of Rey Mysterio.
Are on Kenny's side.
Not yet. Still need time. Add that friction, man. Let them work things out in the ring.
They're currently still on their same side, right?
They're working things out.
Okay. Brotherly love. The Bullet Club's fine. Okay.
Nothing to see here. There's nothing wrong with the Bullet Club. No.
They're fine. Is it not the marks you're looking for? And that's already on top of Jushin Thunder Liger against Rey Mysterio.
The mysterious king.
Who could be tuning up for his WrestleMania match against John Cena, if that's what the rumor has.
Apparently, what I read or what I heard on the little thing was that because of that one video where Rey Mysterio's return, it's like the highest fucking WWE video, like, not of all time, but it's gotten over like 2 million views or 200 million views or something like that. The fucking the Rey Mysterio coming back to the Royal Rumble video, and the WWE is already like, okay, yeah, he's over still. We want him.
We're missing one Mexican,
but he's so booked up because he's so popular right now again.
Yeah.
So
he's still doing Lucha Underground tapings, also.
Is he?
Which actually, if I'm not mistaken, the Saturday before Strong Style Evolve, Ultima Lucha 4 is actually going to be Saturday, and guess what?
What?
Those tickets are free on Eventbrite, lu4.eventbrite.com for anybody out there in the West Coast that needed that info.
Are they still available?
Maybe. They're giving the tickets out by week. They're taping 5 weeks worth of television, and that last week it's the weekend of it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, but the Saturday is the weekend of Strong Style. And last week they released the first three nights tickets. Okay. And then this week they released the second three nights, and then next week it'll keep going like that. So it's first come, first
serve. My friend just got her PWG tickets yesterday. I think they're having like a big deal soon too.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they kind of always do, but like, when's their next big deal? Do you know? PWG?
I have no idea. But I have to look into it because I'm gonna try to soak up as much wrestling as I can while I'm out there.
That's a show I'd love to go to one day.
PWG?
The PWG show. They look fucking rowdy as fuck.
Yeah.
Like K Quick rowdy.
not Ronda Rousey rowdy.
No.
Okay.
That's a show, man. Wait. We're missing one other thing.
What's that?
Anybody that's watching now. Still got time. Tomorrow, Fozzy will be playing at Scout Bar.
Fozzy.
Yeah.
Scout Bar.
Yeah.
Down over there by NASA.
That means as soon as they get off stage, you can walk up to Chris Jericho.
Yep.
And say, that's Scout Bar.
Yeah.
It's like they're playing at a freaking.
The entire Drowning Pool. Like they just roamed around after their set, like on the talking to fans and shit. So
yeah.
That's my plan. It's
a very intimate setting.
Yeah.
I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool. Awesome. All right. March 10th is the next big DZW show. We're going to have
Domination Zone.
Domination Zone. We're going to have a main event of Silky versus Hambone versus David Dupron to finally settle all the scores between everything that's going on with the Dupe and him turning his back on the chess club and beating up everybody and all that crazy shit. So come on out March 10th. That's a Saturday at 7 p.m., 1812 Avenue D, Katy, Texas.
Silky Ham Dupe match.
Silky Ham Dupe.
I think I rented that.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did it feel good?
Yeah, that was only $1.50.
Yeah. All right.
That's the show, man. For Wakanda.
Yes. Adios, my friends. Keep it classy.
I gotta hear that fucking first initial noise that I made. As we started the show with the.
Like the Wilhelm scream?
Oh, yeah, I was like hiccuping and burping at the same time. And I think a shit with the unicorn somehow.
Yeah.